The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We appreciate you hanging out with us here on a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, best listeners in the game. We appreciate it. Numbers game presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch. As always, you can find out more at Zyn.com. That's Z-Y-N. Bill Ady's favorite is the wintergreen. He swears by wintergreen on Zyn. Just want to point that out. Yeah, shout out. Several flavors to choose from, but he's a wintergreen kind of guy. Ladies and gentlemen, you may know him as the Bear. We know him as Christopher Felica. Fox Sports, all sort of court betting expert, to use the tennis term. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Chris?
I'm okay. I'm going through some things in terms of figuring out how to maximize a ticket that I have. And you influenced me this morning by looking to see if I was able to play most wins in the month of June on the season Will Hill app in Massachusetts. So after I'm done here, I think I'm going to take a ride and go make a couple of plays here on the most wins in June.
There you go.
I'm going to play the Twins. It's 16-1. Mm-hmm. They got 16 games versus Pirates, Oakland, Colorado, and Tampa. And I'm going to go play the Mariners at 11-1, and they get that holy trinity of the White Sox, Marlins, and A's. So those are the two that I was going to take a look at and play.
Okay, Twins and who was the second one?
Mariners.
Twins and Mariners. We're showing the Twins and Mariners as the fifth and fourth shots, respectively, at Circa anywhere on those. And by the way, that's also the thing. Also, you know, look at the Circa odds juxtaposed. I know you don't have Circa available for you,
right,
Chris, but for the people that do have both available, mm-hmm, look at the odds juxtaposition and the rules again really matter. Like it always comes down to, because remember last month, I was probably in a better position having the tiebreakers of Circa, whereas this month it was a worse position to have on the Guardians.
Right.
So you have to sort of think that, and we'll get into all that strategy coming up when we talk about it, because, and we'll get into that. But it's like having more games can be a double-edged sword kind of thing. We'll talk about it a little later on. All right, let us begin with the Champions League final and what your bet is there, sir.
Yeah, it's a tough one for me, being that I am not a Real Madrid supporter or anything at all. They've ripped my heart out in the past, and I'm not a fan of these super teams that basically go out and just buy whoever they want. And you could really make an argument that neither of these two teams, Real Madrid or Dortmund, should be here. If you look over the two-legged tie between Dortmund and PSG, there's nothing that indicated that Dortmund should have gotten through, yet they did. And Bayern Munich had an absolute collapse in Madrid in that second leg that allowed Madrid to get here. But these two teams are here. They will be playing for the championship tomorrow. And everyone who knows me knows that there isn't a bet I like more than a high-stakes soccer match under. I put under 2.5. In the last five Champions League finals, there have been a total of 6 goals. The last four had been 1-0, and the one before that was 2-0. So these are matches with so much at stake. Teams do not want to allow to have a big mistake in this game to allow an easy opportunity. So under 2.5 was the was play number one, and then I also played Vinny Jr. Anytime goal scorer at plus 130. I think this has a 1-0, 2-0 Real Madrid type win. Vinny Jr. has gotten most of the big goals for Real Madrid this year. He scored in the Champions League final against Liverpool a couple of years ago. Fantastic player that I don't think he gets the recognition worldwide as one of the elite players in the world that he should. So it feels like a 1-0, 2-0 Real Madrid win with Vinny Jr. at least getting one goal.
Okay, let us shift to college football. Never too early to talk college football.
No.
Before we get to your season win totals, refresh folks' memory, because I know you had a really definitive opinion on this before most did it, at least in my sphere anecdotally. The playoff. We are now moving into a whole different realm of college football. Was this generally something that you're happy about, or generally something that you're actually sad to see the old days go?
I'm kind of sad about it. Look, I don't want to say I'm sad about it, because more college football games are never really a bad thing as someone who loves the sport. But at the same time, you're really not increasing the number of teams that are going to win the national, that can win the national championship. So I'm not necessarily in love with it. I still think that if you look at this year, it's hard for me to make a case between anyone other than Georgia, Ohio State. If you want to maybe throw Oregon in there as a team that could win, but that's really about it. So I'm not necessarily a fan of the expansion. I think it should have been hard to get in. I think the discussions and the debate about who's four, who's five, I think they were great for the sport. And now you're looking at looking at games that and rivalries like the Ohio State Michigan game likely is not going to mean anything ever again in terms of but both games are going to be in the playoffs or the playoff, I should say. But that's why that game mattered so much last year with Ohio State and Michigan. Like, stakes of these regular season games are nowhere near as good, as great as they once were because of the expansion now. But this is what we have, and I understand why ESPN paid what they did for it, and people are going to watch, and I'm going to watch, and you're going to watch, and we're going to bet on it.
Yep.
And we're going to yell and scream about it. So it is what it is.
Bring back the BCS. That's what I say. Let's roll it back.
Bring back the BCS and the computers. There are people that
are calling for that, Kelly.
All right. You got one over, you got one under. Let's start with the over.
Yeah, I played Syracuse over 6.5. And I know people are probably like, what the hell are you playing? Syracuse over 6.5? I mean, it's a team that won 6 games last year. They bring in Fran Brown, who is a really, really good recruiter. A lot of ties to the South. He brought in a couple of transfers from Georgia at wide receiver. You brought in Kyle McCord, quarterback at Ohio State last year. Now, maybe he didn't pan out at Ohio State, but it's still a massive upgrade for Syracuse at the quarterback position. The schedule should allow them potentially to be 4-0, 5-0 maybe to start. This is the ACC. We're not talking about a powerhouse type league here. So they got some other winnable games later in the year. But I think Syracuse could be a sneaky good team this year, and certainly press for bowl eligibility. Certainly, I think they get to 6, and I think there's an excellent chance that they get to 7.
Yeah, and I'm just, I know it's May, and we're looking over a schedule, and we're doing the whole this game they should win, this game they should lose kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Hardest game on there is probably at NC State. It doesn't look like that hard of a schedule, quite frankly.
No, it doesn't. And that's what the ACC is, just kind of a mishmash, conglomeration of a lot of, like, just averageness, lack of a better word.
Okay, and you have an under on UCLA.
Yeah, I don't think UCLA is going to be very good this year. At all. Certainly a lot of turnover on the coaching staff, but turnover on the roster as well. Losing Danton Lynn, the defensive coordinator, to your rival, USC, certainly not good. Losing one of the best defensive players in the country, the guy who was the top defensive player taken in the draft, unfortunately, much to the chagrin of us that had tickets on other players. Ethan Garbers is back at quarterback, but I mean, is he really the guy? But they got to stretch early in the year. I think it's LSU, Oregon, Ohio State. I think it's the 3 games that they have in a row. Like, you're going to lose all 3 of those games. I just don't know how many stops this team is going to get and how they're going to hold up potentially in the trenches on the defensive side of the ball, losing Latu and a lot of the other guys on that defensive side of the ball in the Big Ten, where they're going to go up against a lot more physical offensive lines than they did in the Pac-12. So UCLA under 5.5, Syracuse over 6.5 were the first two that I fired on.
Our buddy Pete Futak over at collegefootballnews.com, he ranks all of the 134 D1 college football schedules. He has UCLA's football schedule as the 3rd hardest in the entire nation.
Behind Florida and who? Who does he have to?
Good call. Florida's number 2, and he has USC as the hardest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
USC 1, Florida 2, UCLA 3. By the way, Purdue and Michigan rounding out the top 5. I know the Belmont is a week away. I know it's not at Belmont Park. It's at Saratoga. Any preliminary thoughts?
It's going to be hard to get past Sierra Leone. With fierceness now out of the race, we're either going to get Torpedo Anna or Mystic Dan from Ken McPeak, the Oaks winner and the Derby winner. We're going to get one of those two, but Sierra Leone just towers over this field. So if you can find a fixed odds price on Sierra Leone prior to next week, I think that's probably the best way to attack this guy. It's not going to be necessarily a big field, so I don't know how much you're going to how much money you're really going to be able to make in this race, even King Sierra Leone, on top of some tries, hoping for some long shots. But if this weekend, I actually was looking for some other things to potentially play and give everybody out. So I was looking at Churchill Downs tomorrow. They got some nice stakes races. The number one horse in the sixth race, Ottoman Fleet, at Churchill tomorrow in the Arlington Stakes. 9-5 morning line. Looks like he should tower over this field. Probably will go off shorter than that again. And if you look a couple of races later in the Regret, the ninth race at Churchill, the number five horse, Poolside with Slim. That's three old fillies. I like betting on these types of horses. Brooke Maiden went through right into stakes race at Tampa Bay Downs, ran a respectable fourth at 6-1. Next start at Keeneland, kind of led all the way around and then tired. But I think going back here, third start now against winners, 8-1 morning line, doesn't look like a ton of speed in the race. Rusty Arnold is a trainer who can win on the turf with the horse at a price. So I think Poolside with Slim is someone that you might want to take a look at in this race at dice price.
Poolside with Slim.
That's a great name.
When Kelly invites friends over to his complex, he's like, you want to come poolside with Slim? I'm like, who's Slim? He's like, that's me.
That's me.
That's me. Chris, always appreciate it. Good luck with all the bets. Thanks for all the horse plays.
You got it.
Chris Felica, everybody. At Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A on the Twitter machine. Bear Bets Pod is what he does over there at Fox Sports. Check it out. John Legesa. Some instant baseball offense next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Good Friday morning to you. John Legesa standing by. Also Paul Carr on the Champions League. And yes, June MLB numbers. We'll also review our College World Series plays. We get tweets of beating the book. I always appreciate that. See, Kelly, look what you're doing to me here. He goes, this is from Jamie Leva. He goes, am I in trouble with Gil? See?
I told Jamie we're taking away his subscription.
Gave him a complex. Mike Stacks. No, Jamie, we love you. Mike Stacks. Gil, if we're the best listeners in the world, do you think we can get your best sushi place in Vegas? That's a fair question.
Through that,
you might have checkmated me there. Teasers and parlays. I think you all forgot the VSiN +++ promo read with code ANG as in a numbers game. A numbers game. You get monthly baseball plays, meet and greet with delicious, and most importantly, Gil's secret sushi location. Have a great weekend, gents. But everybody's
you have to Venmo me directly for that one.
Logic 3227. Gil, I feel your Soto pain. Being in Pittsburgh and watching the Pirates trade away Cole and eventually Skeens, all for the promise of a future that never comes. I totally thought that was going to Barry Lamar Bonds, you know, leaving the Pirates in free agency and going to his hometown in San Francisco. Screaming A. Smith, 10 books in Pennsylvania and no MLB monthly win totals. That includes ones that have them elsewhere. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, we were talking about this with, like, you know, that stations here says they're going to have betting here in Nevada on desktops and laptops. And
coming
Kelly,
soon, Gil.
And Kelly are like, there's companies that have that in other states that don't do that. Yeah, coming soon.
Coming soon.
Coming soon.
Hold your breath.
Let's see. Nash, last name Nash, says, Poolside with Slim sounds more like a pickup line Kelly and Jordan would use down in West Palm Beach. They totally use that. You are so on top of that. That's awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, you remember Vinny Johnson from the Bad Boy Pistons as the microwave. Instant offense. This is instant offense on a numbers game. It's John Legesa, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is the host of the Cork Stats podcast and an MLB and NFL writer. Don't sleep on the NFL side for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at John Legesa. That's Lagheza, H-E-Z-Z-A. What's happening, Johnny?
Hooked on Phonics work for me. No, thank you. What is going? What's up? What's going down? Gil, I missed you. You can tell every week the volume gets a little bit higher. I'm starting to move in the chair a little bit more. I'm getting back to myself. I got some good medical news the other day, man.
Oh,
there
good for
is
you.
Nothing like it. Nothing like it. People appreciate every single day. I won't kill you with the mushiness. Appreciate every day and stop arguing with idiots on the internet. That's my best advice.
Do you do that? Do you do that a lot? Do you argue with idiots on the internet?
No, but I had. No, but believe it or not, I had done that. We're going back years. I'm a little older, maybe than I look, but yeah, now what a waste of your time. No one ever was sitting in their deathbed. I was like, man, I wish I yelled more at Joe 7496 about the Pirates swinging strike rate, you know?
No, I even go one step further. If I have people, you know, being idiots towards me on the internet, I don't even know about it. Like, I don't even see it. So, like, they're just doing it in the wind, enjoying themselves.
All right. Those of us who you don't answer on Twitter know that, right?
Oh, see?
Hey, listen, whatever it takes to avoid that negativity, man, that's what you got to do. Because, again, if we're going to bet every day, yeah, I talk about the numbers and the stats, but there is a methodology and a sustainability to attitude that I think really matters to keep yourself in the arena every single day, right? See how we kind of took that fun and games into something that people can actually use. It really is the truth. If you're going to bet every single day, you got to have a good attitude. You have to enjoy what you're doing because you need to be sustainable and avoid, when you lose, like overreacting and overlevering and making mistakes, staying within the process. So here we go. We're back on track, just like that.
Wow, Legace is back, everybody. Yeah, John, don't let that stuff bother you. There's nothing more cowardly than the quote-unquote courage of anonymity. Trust me.
Yeah. Wow, well put.
Yeah. All right, baseball. Yeah, what are you looking at today?
All right, first things first, give me the Guardians. Although I would say to a kind of macro view, it's not just me. I've been hearing it from other kind of tout sharps and the like that I think it has to do with the inception of legalized betting, widespread betting, where the public generally, this is something you talk about all the time, the public loves favorites, the public loves overs. We're seeing a lot of juice to baseball favorites, maybe more so than ever. And it's created an interesting problem of then, you know, you're either paying a lot of juice, minus 170, minus 180 for teams that should probably be minus 130, or having to cover the run line. That's one of these cases, but I am comfortable with the run line. Let's dive right into it. I like the Guardians covering the 1.5 full game. We're getting plus 135. I think I might have even seen plus 140. It's my boy Tanner Bibee, the youngster on the bump against Patrick Corbin for the Nats, who is a living testament that sometimes salary equals playing time. This guy really, it's none of it's performance-based. He's through 60 1/3. It's a 6 ERA, 1.7 whip, OPS north of 900. I mean, a lot of these numbers are really, I mentioned unsustainable. This is unsustainable. A 5% KBB, 24 CSW, 19% whiff. That's not going to do it. He's pitching to content, 49% hard hit. I mean, it's been really bad. You got to give me the guards. The offense is humming right now. I know you were doing a great job highlighting how well they were doing in terms of run differential. The pitching was carrying a lot of the load to start. Now the offense really is starting to come on. They are crushing lefties. Last 175 PAs. They're actually second in runs. 350 OBP. That'll play 200 ISO. So they're getting extra base hits. Plus the double-digit walk rate and top three pull rate. Number one in team WOBA. So all the kind of things that Corbin does poorly, right? Sometimes he falls behind, then misses, and then has to enter the zone without great stuff. You got to love Jose Ramirez today. Even David Fry has been great. I don't think the Nats really stand much of a chance. The bullpen to a man, not very good. Cleveland Gardens bullpen, one of the best in the league. 212 innings on the season. That's a 2.5 ERA and a 1.01 whip with a sub-200 batting average. So given that we have the three-phase edge, because Bibee, rough start. I think he's got three quality starts in a row. We're starting to see what they like so much. And of course, something again you talk about, the Guardians pitching development is very good. And that is a good place to decide where to put those chips when you want to buy low, right? Do you believe in your organization? Do you believe that they'll maximize the talent? And the Guardians have kind of proven that to us. So I think Bibee's getting up off the mat. I just think all the kind of trends are working. Give me the Guardians more than two over Washington, plus 140.
All right, there you go. By the way, Guardians helped along by a 7-1, one run record in the month of May. They have been
the bullpen so good.
They've been amazing, and Manuel Clase specifically, but they've been amazing in the March, April, and May markets, even though they didn't get there in either. They have a very, as you alluded to, a very sneaky good batting order. I don't agree with Adam Burke, who is the glue that holds this whole operation together. He's a Guardians fan, and so I think he's somewhat defeatist on it because he's used to the pain of it. But the offense is really good. The bullpen, by and large, is good. Their only weakness is starting pitching. Bibee's not part of that. But they do have a couple gas cans that are in that rotation, and they don't really have a way of sort of replacing it right now. So I don't, do I expect them to maintain this rate of wins, this win percentage for the whole year? I don't, but I do expect them to be a postseason team, a playoff team for sure.
Yeah. Probably part of the problem had been Bibee and McKenzie, and I think there's an argument to be made that the worst could be behind us. It's not a guarantee, but again, I just tend to put my faith in what we've seen.
Yeah.
And if McKenzie is the worry, there's going to be 25 ball clubs that wish they had him right now.
All right, you got the run line on the Guardians. You have another run line.
Yeah, I know. It's not something I've always been into, betting run lines. But again, this year, you got to be malleable, and I'm not just going to start smashing into bad prices that don't work out with my model. So I've got another big win. We're going to go with the Boston Red Laundry. They're somewhere up in the Northeast, from what I understand. Tanner Houck on the mound against the Tigres. And Kenta Maeda, you know, one of the things that I am taking a gold star on my big nose was keeping an eye on the offseason. Again, pitching development always at the center of my work. When the Red Sox brought in Kyle Boddy, the Driveline founder, I had a feeling that they might take an uptick. That rotation has been just phenomenal. Probably the biggest overperformer from a macro standpoint in the league. So give me Tanner Houck. I mean, a 1.9 ERA, 0.99 whip. He has been an absolute revelation, just brilliant. I mean, the ball rate at 31%. I've been trying to use ball rate over walk rate, though it's a 4.5 walk rate. He's been great. 20 KBB, everything you're looking for, keeping it down, not giving up home runs, just everything you want to see. Maeda's been a struggle. We're actually going to sell the rip, right? The opposite of buying the dip. I'm not buying what he's selling. He's come off a good start. 5.8 ERA, 1.3 whip. The OPS at like 850, but the expected ERA near 5, single-digit KBB, single-digit swing and strike, all the stuff we generally go after. Double-digit barrel, more than 2 homer, 9, 400 wOBA on contact. Yeah, just give me the Red Sox to kind of demolish these guys. Also, if we don't get it early, if you notice, if I play for the run line, a very important piece of my calculus always is to attack bad bullpens, because even if it's close, maybe they'll cough it up. Tigers, Gil. 46 2/3 from the bullpen last 2 weeks. It's a 7.3 ERA. Oh, my goodness. 1.5 whip, opponents hitting more than 270 off them. Red Sox bullpen, not great, but I think to a man, considering Houck is likely going to get you into the sixth. With the Tigers offense, that's okay, but not great. I think Devers and the boys in Boston do enough to get it done, even if it's close. Give me like a 4-1, 5-2 Boston win.
Wow. I'm told a north of 7 ERA is not good. That's what I'm being told in
the
right now.
West, yeah. Back of the napkin math.
last thing, by the way, because Jason alluded to this earlier, and I had praised Tanner Houck earlier this year, because, again, when I was following my Guardians in March and April, one of the few games where they had no answers for was a game at Fenway against Tanner Houck. He was just brilliant. But the Jason Weingarten note from earlier on the show should be repeated, which is, yet, don't translate that necessarily to a rookie of the year bet, because, again, pitchers' innings that are young like that, or youngish in different markets, not just rookie of the years, but they tend to get limited on their innings. So just keep that in mind.
End of the year, yeah, not bad. Maeda with an 11 road ERA. Is that good or bad?
I'm told that's not good either. Thank you,
John. That's not good. Okay, I'm going to write it off with 11 ERA. Yo, I miss you guys. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You too. College World Series bets, we'll review those. And Paul Carr on the Champions League. That's next, plus June MLB.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time only, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription. Normally $240. You can now secure your subscription for just $199. But here's the dealio. Today is the final day. We'll throw in an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. And with VSiN Pro, you'll get immediate access to our daily best bets, complete with a leaderboard showcasing the hottest VSiN experts, betting splits that reveal where the money and bets are trending for every game, exclusive betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video content. Remember, today's the final day of this 14-month offer, so visit VSiN.com/subscribe now to grab your 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199 with promo code ANG.
ANG like a numbers game, folks.
ANG.
Get it now.
ANG. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Scott Alexander, I was inarticulate before the end of the break when I was trying to say about, because Jason had brought up Rookie of the Year, and if your innings are limited, as rookies are, don't bet a Rookie of the Year. And I was making the point earlier that Tanner Houck, you shouldn't bet him for Cy Young, because I think his innings in his like third or fourth year are going to be limited. So it's like, anyway, I was inarticulate about that. I just want to
make
that
I got you.
Correction. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate that. This is Blake, GM of the week. He said, "Hey Gil, when is it appropriate to bet more than a single unit? Is it more about finding a good number to get in on, or about model/stats that may be unaccounted for with any specific line or price? Also, best restaurant at Mandalay. Thanks. Love the show." Thank you. Take the second one first. Best restaurant at Mandalay. Oh, that steak place is great.
Steak place is great.
Strip steak.
I feel like, yeah, strips. Yeah,
it's
strip
great.
Steak. Pork belly fried rice. Boom. Actually, that's one of my favorite sides in town is at Strip Steak.
And a nice little dessert place is a Citizen, right in the middle.
I don't really know if they have much else in that.
No,
for
it's
being
just
honest,
dessert.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
no, dessert. No. I'm saying like restaurants in general that I would recommend.
But, yeah, not really.
But you're right. Strip Steak is great and one of my favorite sides in town.
Yeah. As far as the like betting more than a unit kind of thing, I mean, again, if you have a model, the larger the edge, with confidence in that model, the larger the unit size some would subscribe to, short of having that kind of precision on stuff, I don't know that I would go around recommending the average bettor to do that kind of thing.
I think it's regardless of how you're handicapping sports, the larger the edge is where you would end up making larger bets. But, you know, I think if you are more of a novice bettor, just getting started out, flat betting, everything is the way you should be approaching this.
Yeah, I think so. This is from, last one here. Let me read one more here. This is from, Joe C714. Will always have a place in my heart. He said, does Gil still have the autographed Iga Świątek ball by his TV that I gave him? I can claim the best gift given by a loyal listener, according to Gil. Please DM me the sushi spot. I will. When you're coming here, I will DM you the sushi spot, my man. Appreciate that. Okay. College World Series plays real quick. Can we get these out of the way before we get to Paul?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
These are what we have at College World Series. The regionals begin today. College baseball, baby. Thanks to Matt Grissom. Thanks to Ben Wilson. Thanks to everybody who has talked college baseball with us this year. Ole Miss 100-1 a couple years back.
More people bet college baseball now than Major League Baseball.
It's an interesting question. Certainly around our little corner of the world.
On our network,
not,
it might be
not generally
about
they
much.
Don't, but in our little corner of the world. By the way, I like to think that we have a little something to do with that over here on ANG. To win the College World Series, I have three bets. Two of them completely inspired by Matt Grissom, and those are the first two there. Wake Forest at 20-1 and Georgia at 25-1. Those are simply based on the collegebaseballinsiders.com rankings that he had at the time that he was on the show here a couple weeks ago. He had Georgia as the number 2 team in the country when he did. And then Georgia, by the way, right after he was on, had like a bad stretch. But I got Wake Forest 20-1. I got Georgia 25-1. And I have your FSU Seminoles at 35-1 behind their ace, Jamie Orr.
Let's go, Noles. Let's go, Noles. I'm on them as well to win the College World Series and the regional this weekend. And Oklahoma State is my other one.
Okay. There you go. Paul Carr joins us from all parts of America. Typically, it's Topeka, Kansas, but he can be found in so many locations because he's a renaissance man when it comes to sports. Paul joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Paul, where are you today?
Gil, I'm talking to you live from Commerce City, Colorado, and Dick's Sporting Goods Park, which is where the U.S. women will play South Korea in a soccer friendly tomorrow.
We knew that. Course.
I know.
Dick's Sporting Goods Park in Commerce City, Colorado.
Stop making up cities.
Yeah.
I think
that's pretty much it, you know, how they kind of made up the city and started putting stuff here. It's one of those, you know, down the suburbs of Denver. Does have a nice view of the Rockies, but yeah, it's a town that's just kind of sprung up and there's not a ton here, but it's a nice stadium and a nice view of the mountains.
By the way, is there anything more antithetical to the American brain than the notion of a soccer friendly?
Yeah, it's trying to explain it to a traditional American sports fan is a little bit weird. Like, so it doesn't count? Well, it does count. So it's like preseason? Well, no, but yes.
Yes.
And
no,
yeah.
Kind of. What do you mean friendly?
Right.
Not really friendly, but yeah.
It depends on the team.
Okay, before we get to your Champions League final play, lay out, if you would, the summer soccer schedule for us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. Soccer never stops, as I always say. So next week is when Euros start. This is the European Championship. Normally every 4 years. So, you know, it's the closest thing to a World Cup in general because most of the best teams are in Europe. So that starts, I think it's a week from today in Germany. So that'll be a fun one, as always. The week after that, Copa America starts. Copa America is usually just South American teams, but they're having a special one this year that includes the U.S., it includes Mexico and other CONCACAF teams, and it's in the United States. That starts in 2 weeks,
ooh,
and then end of July is when the Olympics will start. That's a U23 tournament for the men and a senior tournament for the women.
Do you anticipate betting each and every one of those events?
Euros and Copa, absolutely. I have a few futures in already. Olympics, the men I shy away from more, again, just because the youth tournament a little less known. The women, probably a few plays just because it's a senior tournament, a little easier to get a handle on, things like that.
All right. Wherever Germany is playing, Paul Carr is sure to have a bet.
That's right.
I can neither confirm nor deny already having a future on Germany to win Euros.
Oh, okay. I think I stepped into it there. All right. Champions League final. You have not one, not two, but three plays. How do you feel about this, and what are your plays?
I do. Yeah, so this is Real Madrid against Dortmund. Real Madrid is a heavy favorite. You know, they're roughly minus 160 on the three-way. That's a 90-minute money line. So, they're a sizable favorite. And just trying to, you know, you try to kind of play out how is this game going to go in your head and make your bets accordingly in part. So, you know, I'm just looking at last four Champions League finals have all ended 1-0. And the first half of those four finals, total of one goal. So, and then Dortmund has a reputation as a little bit of a higher scoring team because their defense isn't great, and Real Madrid has as much offensive talent as anybody. So it's a little, dangerous in my head at least to do this, but I think this will be a low scoring game, especially early on. Dortmund has tended to be defensive, more defensive and a little better defensively when they're outclassed, like they were against PSG earlier in the knockout stage. So I'll start. My first play is no goals in the first half, plus 245. Just because, again, Dortmund, I think, will come out defensive. Madrid is not a team like maybe a Man City that just presses, and tries to score. They're just much more comfortable, you know, without the ball or sitting back and just kind of being patient. So I think I'll start right there. No goals, first half, plus 245 is my first play there.
Wow. Okay. First half, under a half a goal. You might see that listed that way as well. Plus 245.
Yep.
All right. And then an under for the whole game as well?
Yep. Yeah. So we'll carry this over to the whole game. Again, last four finals all ended 1-0. Four of Dortmund's six knockout games have had two or fewer goals. So again, they try to keep it tight, steal a goal type of thing. And even Real Madrid's knockout games, half of them had two or fewer goals. And two others probably should have. You know, there was a silly 3-3 game against Man City where there was like 1.5 expected goals total. And there was a 2-2 game against Bayern that had two penalties. So, under 2.5, you get plus money. I have it at plus 120. So under 2.5 goals. And I'll say what I always say. This is a 90-minute bet. So if this goes to extra time, say a 1-1, and someone wins an extra time, you're still winning this under 2.5 bet because by default, at least, you're making 90-minute bets.
Okay, because you have a future here on play too, right?
Yeah, I have a Real Madrid. This is a kind of a brain dead type of play I made in January or February, where it's like, hey, I'm just going to throw something on Real Madrid because they always seem to win Champions League. So I have a plus 550 that's in action. So I'm kind of semi hedging this a little bit.
You're threading the needle here, right? Yeah.
So, a little bit, yeah. I mean, I got a chance to win both of these, but I like the Dortmund double chance at plus 130. Again, I think Dortmund's going to try and keep it tight. You could very easily see this being 1-1 at the end of 90 minutes, which, again, cashes the bet.
Yep.
Even if Real Madrid goes on to win an extra time or whoever wins the penalties, doesn't matter.
Okay.
So, yeah, I have Dortmund double chance, plus 130. So if it goes, 1-1 to extra time, Madrid wins, then I'm cashing everything.
Okay. So under a half goal, first half, plus 245. Under 2.5 goals for the game, plus 120. We got 30 seconds for your final bet. That is?
Final one's the Dortmund double chance. Yeah, plus 130. Again, I think Dortmund will try to keep it tight, try to hit one goal on the counter. And if it's 1-0 late, Real Madrid's going to be fine. They just go grind out a goal in the last 10 minutes like they always seem to do. We get the extra time, and that would be a winner in that case.
All right, Paul, enjoy Commerce City and Dick's Sporting Goods Arena, I believe you called it, field.
Dick's Sporting Goods Park.
Park. It's a park.
Yes.
It's not a field. It's a park.
Get it together, Gil.
That's right.
Thank you, Paul.
Sheesh.
Appreciate it, Paul.
You're welcome.
Senior Director of Content at True Media Sports, also the host of the Expected Value podcast from Commerce City, Colorado. MLB, most wins, June. It is next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're so close to crowning an NBA champ, and with the action heating up on the court, it is even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings? Well, listen up. New customers get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5. You'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. A little update in tennis. Nice bounce back day for us on the clay at Roland Garros. Danilovic wins in the third set tiebreaker. Clara Towson took down Sofia Kenin in straight sets. So hopefully things turning around here at Roland Garros.
Can you show the audience real quick just how you did that live read?
What do you mean? I was staring right at you.
No. It was great. Yeah, it was like that. So he could see the final point. I was really hoping the point was going to keep going. It was like a long rally. I was like, keep going.
He's talking about Iga. Iga just won the first set against Marie Buskova, and I wanted to read the promo while watching at the same time. So it was a... Yeah, that's what I
was really hoping the point would just go on forever. Gil would get trapped when he ran through the read.
Okay. Real quick update on May. Most wins in Major League Baseball. And again, our Guardians bet at 16-1. Remember, our 65-1 in March, April, dying the sickest death of them all, one out away. But 16-1, Cleveland gave it a run, but they're going to fall short. They're in third place. They're at 18-9. The winner... And I hope congratulations to you if you are part of this. If you have a Phillies ticket or a Yankees ticket, you are live at Circa, which has the tiebreakers of, once again, fewest wins and best run differential. Yankees have to lose. Phillies have to win. And you will win on, well, you'll win on fewest losses. So run differential won't come into play because they play an uneven amount of games, the two of them. So if the Yankees... if the Yankees lose and the Phillies win, if you're at Circa, the Phillies will win based on fewest losses. If the Yankees lose and the Phillies win over at William Hill Caesars, that will be a dead heat between those two teams. There are no other possible outcomes. If the Yankees win, the Yankees win in both spots.
I don't mean to sound like a jerk for people out there that have these tickets because we've been tracking the Guardians so much. Is this about to be a bad beat, sort of, with the Phillies?
I don't know if you can consider it a bad beat, but it certainly was. They were in the lead
for a long time.
They were in the lead most of the time, but the Yankees were always lurking, and the Guardians were the sneaky for your brother sneaking in from the rear.
Yeah, you're right. They were right there.
Yeah. Okay. Which brings us, ladies and gentlemen, to June. Ah, yes, June. 30-day month. They don't get any shorter during the baseball season than a 30-day month. Remember, March, April was like 34. May was 31, and now we're at 30. We'll have to wait till September to get one as short as 30. So this is a bit of a sprint. I wasn't going to do this. And then yesterday I was texting with Kelly. I was like, yeah, I mean, it's only up at William Hill Caesars. I don't know. And then Circa put him out. And then I was like, well, I had flights. I had time to get. Let me delve into this. So, yeah, I delved into it all right. So the first thing when handicapping these is, and we talked about this last month with Samich, because remember Samich had the Blue Jays, and then after he's off the air, I was like, here's the problem with the Samich bet. He's got like three fewer games than most of the teams. So first thing you do is you count up the total number of games that each team has scheduled. And when you do that analysis for June, the Baltimore Orioles have 29 games in June. They have one day off. That's it. Now, that could be a double-edged sword. It's great, on the one hand. On the other hand, like, I look at that last Guardians game in Colorado. They just look gassed, right? So maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's not. Also, when it comes to, like, a Circa tiebreaker, when you play more games and then you end up in a tie, by definition, you'll lose because you'll have more losses, right? So keep that in mind. St. Louis, Toronto, San Diego, Kansas City, and the White Sox have the next most games at 28. Most teams have 27, or the biggest group of teams have 27, 3 days off. Then you got seven teams, Cleveland, Boston, Philly, Pittsburgh, Miami, the Angels, and the Dodgers with 26. Then, Kelly, you have the Houston Astros with 25 games in the 30-day month of June. And the New York Mets, who just posted the worst record in May, somehow they only have 24 games scheduled in the month of June. It's amazing.
I guess I've never looked at a baseball schedule broken down like this. The Mets get like a week off.
It's incredible. The Orioles have one day off. The Mets almost have a week off. Anyway, so that's the first thing one should do when doing the most wins in a month, or at least I believe that's the first thing one should do, is have a sense of how many games is each team scheduled to play. Now, obviously, rain can affect this, but that's what it starts with. So does that mean that you will have sacred fealty to that? Well, I can only bet on the teams with the most games. Well, I am here to argue that it is just one component, because I did not end up betting on one of the teams with the most games. Now, like some of the tweets this morning we got, a lot of people like that Dodgers schedule, right? But the Dodgers are right around 5-1. They're the short shot. And for me, in the end, the Dodgers was not worth playing. First of all, because I don't think 5-1 is a good enough number. By the way, we're showing 3-1 at Circa, so even less on the Dodgers. But they were as high as 5-1, I think, at William Hill at one point. But the issue with the Dodgers is, although they're rightful favorites, they play the Yankees and Kansas City and at San Francisco. There is a group of games that is kind of tough. So, again, the combination of their number, and they do have three series that are tough. I'm not playing that. That number's not nearly not good enough to play, in my opinion. Another team I considered was, I looked at the Padres. The Padres were an interesting one. They're about 17-1, but ultimately they had a seven-game stretch in the middle where they were at Philly, they had Milwaukee, and that kind of took me off the Padres as well. So then I stumbled upon this little schedule right here. Now, this is Team X. We're going to reveal the team momentarily, but this is the team. This is the team's June schedule. And what I have done, you'll see that where there's an at, we took the ats down because some of these were road games, right? But oh, yeah, we do have the ads. Pardon me. My mistake. We do have the ads. Great job by the guys back, by the way, with that total number of games. And we have the ads here. I just didn't see the ads. We're on the left. So you'll see the home games do not have the at signs. The ats are obviously away games. But what I've done is I've put the current run differentials of all of these teams. So Minnesota at home, +3/+3. Then St. Louis, the Cardinals are -35. Then at the Angels are -41. Then at San Francisco is -19. Detroit is +5. The White Sox are -127.
That's incredible.
Then Baltimore is +69. Colorado -75. And the Mets at the Mets -36 for a three-game set to close it out.
Plus, they're going to be fresh off a cruise. So, you know.
So the only team that this team is facing with an above +5 run differential. And by the way, there are only three circumstances of them playing teams with plus run differentials. The +3 Twins, the first two games. The +5 Tigers for three games later. Is the +69 Orioles. But as we just mentioned, by that time, late in the month, the Orioles will play this team that I bet. The Orioles will have played 19 out of 20 days right before they play this team. So you're getting the Orioles possibly in a situation where even that one team that has this good performance up to this point via run differential to this point this year, again, don't just check standings. Check what a team really ought to be in terms of their run production and their run prevention at this point. So you get the idea. This is as cakey a schedule as you could possibly put together. Here is the issue, though. This happens to be one of the teams that actually plays fewer games. So that's the rub. Beyond the schedule, the rub is that this team plays only, as we just mentioned in the previous moments, 25 games scheduled. But they don't get easier than those 25. This schedule cannot be possibly any easier than what we're seeing right here. And so the play is on a team that is sub-500 right now. I got them at 25-1. At the Dead Heat Shop at Caesars Will Hill. But because they're playing fewer games, and I just alluded to this with the Guardians, the double-edged sword of fewer games is that if you win a lot, pardon me, you're going to win on a tiebreaker at Circa. So I also bet it at Circa, not quite at 25-1, but at 17-1. And that team is the Houston Astros.
Wow.
The Houston Astros to turn it around in the month of June, 25-1 at William Hill Caesars, 17-1 at Circa. That is your numbers game. Most MLB wins in June. Play of the month.
What were the number? What was the number at Caesars?
25-1.
Okay, I like that.
17-1.
You know, we were texting yesterday, right? It still feels like this isn't directly correlated to some of the golf markets, but like the Dead Heat, you should be getting a little bit more bang for your buck on the odds. With the tiebreaker possibly coming into play. I like it.
Do Strokes. With that what you will. Follow if you must. Or, you know, go rogue if you must. Whatever you think. But that is my case for the Houston Astros upon schedule reflection. But that's essentially how I do the handicap most games and get into the schedule.
Oh, that was good. I like that.
I'm off next week, Kelly. I don't know if you know that.
You are.
Yeah. I'm
not sure who's here.
You're not sure. That's probably next question. Nice job. Right.
Ben or Jared? Here.
Ben, Jared, Matt, we don't know. Somebody. They'll do a fabulous job. Good luck with all your bets. Gojo and Golic next on the radio side. Best bets on the picture side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.